now that you're here, Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness, through the knowledge of him that hath called you to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, being escaped, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Before we bow our heads and pray, let's go to James chapter 5. A few more scriptures here before we go to the word, or go to prayer. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. And James chapter 5, verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them worthy, happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So we're looking at the thought on patience this morning. We turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And Hebrews 6, and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let us pray. Dear Father, we have read in your word this morning that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us, and through faith and patience we shall inherit the promises. Help us, dear Father, as children of your kingdom to run in this race that has been set before us with all patience, that through faith in thy great revelation of thyself, knowing who you are and having the knowledge of the relationship that you had with your son Jesus, and being aware of his great obedience to you, Father, may we all come with patience into that image that we have been predestined to be conformed to. Now we're going to deal with a subject this morning, and Father, we just pray that you'd help us in that subject, because we don't ask for patience, because if we do, we know that we're going to receive trials. But we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand patience. Help us to see it in thy word, so that we might collectively in our souls, Lord, might come forth into that very refined character that we saw in your son, Jesus Christ. Be with us then, Father, as we open the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to deal with the subject of patience, or patiently waiting this morning, because we'll find in our reading from Brother Bram's sermons from paragraph 50 through 54, of the spoken word's original seed, and that's the afternoon service, that Brother Bram deals quite strongly about the church, like Eve, was not willing to wait, and that is where they got in trouble. The ability to wait is also the ability to be able to trust, because waiting and trusting are synonymous with each other, and that is faith. If something has been truly revealed to you, then you patiently wait for it. Now, that doesn't mean that you just sit around and do nothing. For faith without works is dead. But when God reveals to Abraham that there was a land of promise, he began walking in it, or toward it, And actually, in his journeys, if you actually follow his journeys on a biblical map, you see that he actually encircled the entire land of promise, or the land of Israel, never really finding rest for his weary bones. But he was also given a promise of a seed from his own loins, and that of Sarah's as well. And just as Eve couldn't wait for the promise of God for her and Adam to produce a child via the spoken word promise or the spoken word of God, Sarah couldn't wait either. And in not waiting, we have all problems. We all see the problems that we have with Ishmael today in this hour. And not only that, but by Eve not waiting, it produced all the death and like Brother Branham said, all the hospitals we have, all the sickness and suffering, everything else. And so we see that it produced the seed of a serpent and the seed of the beast. And men who do not know God, men who are just basically reprobate concerning the truth, and yet they're very religious. And what does Sarah's impatience produce? More of the same. And we see it daily in the news. Men who fight brother with brother, unruly, savage, but boy, are they religious. And what did the church produce when she couldn't wait for the promised son? A lot of religious people. More of the same. Men who would kill you thinking that they're doing God a service without it being his will. So if you have your booklets of Brother Branham's sermon, let's turn to paragraph 50 this morning in the second half of the beginning. Now, it may not be in your booklet, it may not be the same paragraphing as we have because we use the search engine. But basically, Brother Ram says, all right, what's she trying to do? Oh, she's manufactures a little jumping on the platform, not making fun of it. It's all right. But she manufactures something else. Why? To get members in the church. What's the matter? She just can't wait. See? She can't wait for God to do it. They got to get members in there somewhere. So they tell them, you have to do that. You have to do that, and go, and away they go. See, there's that seed coming right up. You have to do it. Now, I'm a missionary, and I've seen the Africans take blood of an animal and pour it over themselves like this. Stark naked men and women put paint on their face. That's where it come from. Paint come from a heathen trait, not from us human beings. Christian believers never was. Wasn't only one woman in all the Bible that ever painted herself. That was Jezebel, a devil. So then they put paint on their face, big long things in their ears like blocks of wood, the Zulus. It is a block of wood. Make the flesh of the ear hang way down there. Sometimes split their lips and put them way out. And they think it looks beautiful. Put over their breasts and down around their legs and things, blood, and then make stripes like a zebra. Oh, we see that today. We see people scarring themselves and making stripes, you know, and shout. And dance in the spirit and speak in tongues and worship devils. And that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Shouting, dancing, speaking in tongues, worshiping a false god. You see, it's heathenism. Now, I've been there right in India where they had firewalkers and everything else and know it's the truth. And a great big idol there with rubies in their earrings, like things like that. And they put torments and sticking through their flesh and beat themselves and sew up their lips if they've lied. And do penitence and run a saber through their lip here or through their chin, right up through their nose and stick it out like that. And take a big fish hook like Christmas tree balls. Went and filled it with water and hooked thousands of them all over their bodies, right through the flesh. And go over there and dance around this idol like that and kill a goat and do worship like that and walk right through red hot fire without a scorch. Some of you Pentecostals try it. But it was done. The Hebrew children did it. But they never tempted the Lord thy God. They was just thrown into it. You see, there's a big difference right there. Is pushing yourself into something or God opening the door and you just stepping in. You see, they didn't try to manufacture something. That's what's the matter with Pentecostals today. They're manufacturing something. They can't wait. Oh God, they just can't wait. So they commit adultery. Amen. Tries to manufacture something. And what does it bring? Like it did the first time, the first bride. They couldn't wait. She brought death through a bastard born child, which we are all children of. But God came in the flesh to give us another birth, to bring us back to the original sons and daughters of God. See? There you are. The life sperm of Eve never happened. It never did. Why? She mingled it, kept it away, instead of Adam coming to her for a bride when the time appointed would be. Just like Christ would have come to the group. Christ would have come to the church. He promised to do it. God promised to multiply. But they had to wait until God's time. I think that's the big issue we have today, because if we're going to get to inheritance, inheritance cannot come till we're fully matured sons and daughters of God. What is not a fully matured son or daughter of God? It's an impatient child. They get tantrums, they get fits because it just doesn't happen the way they want it to happen or when they want it to happen. They get sharp with one another. Quick trigger. All those things. So we see that the fruit of impatience. Let's go back. That's what's the matter today. They don't want to wait for God's time. They want to get something else. And so the devil's got the wisdom right there to give it to them. Make an organization. Be bigger than the rest of them. Now do you see why I'm against it? Sure, I'm against it with everything that's in me. As long as the word's in there, it'll always be against it. God's against it. God said it was. That's right. Just couldn't wait. Now, Brother Branham is really hammering it home at this point. Just couldn't wait. So we see the first fruit of the fruits of impatience. What does it do? It leans toward producing something that's religious, producing something but death, organization. An organizational spirit that will build upon its own merits and not upon the Word of God. From the message Shalom, Brother Branham said, patience. Patience. Some of us get in such a hurry. I think many a good man has done that. You get in too much of a hurry. You want to see, you want to do it yourself. And minister brethren, you know that, you know from the way I'm talking, you that's listening to this tape, I'm talking to you. Not only to the little congregation here, but men around the world. Many men go out and impatient. But believing that the time is near, you try to do something within yourself. Wait upon the Lord. Patience is virtue. If you can have patience, it's virtue. It's virtue. If you, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Not they that try to get ahead of the Lord. They that try to tell the Lord, Lord, I know you want me to do this, and glory to God. And don't do that. Wait upon the Lord. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Again, this is the biggest issue we as a church collective have. Patience. We see the promise for the hour. We see the destruction on the horizon. And what do you think anxiety is all about? It's worrying about things that might happen. But then what do you do? What do you do? Do you look at the promise? As Brother Vail said last week, he said, we've got to get our eyes off the political situation, the political structure, and get our eyes on what is the promise for this hour. That's exactly. What is the promise for me in this hour? David couldn't wait to have Bathsheba. What did it produce? He committed murder to get her, and his holy union with her, unholy union with her. What did it produce? What did it produce? An illegitimate bastard-born child that God would not even allow to come to full term. So what did David do to try to get her when he saw that he had produced a bastard-born child? He committed murder. Sent her husband off in the heart of battle. Now had David waited patiently, if he truly believed that that was, well, first of all, the Bible doesn't say anything about God showing him that it was through her. But he lusted after her. Had David been a real man of God, because his, you know, I mean, I'm talking about totally focused on God, he would have been focused on God, not on this woman, when he saw her in a naked condition. God would have taken that man off the scene at some time anyway, and freed her up. He could have legitimately married the woman and produced Solomon, which they did. But notice the person that was taken off the scene, the child that was by an unholy, adulterous relationship. God wouldn't allow his servant David to bring forth by a woman who was married to another man and call that the offspring of David. Eventually, after rightfully marrying her, after the death of her first husband, she brought forth Solomon, which became the heir to the throne of David. Moses couldn't wait, and what happened? What did it produce? One dead Egyptian. Aaron couldn't wait for Moses to return from the mountain. What did it produce? False worship. Golden calf schemes. Dathan and Korah couldn't wait for the children to reach the promised land. So what did it produce? Death for both of them and all those followed him. Paul couldn't wait. And what did he produce? He thought he was doing God a service without it being his will. And all he did was find himself fighting against God. The man who ran without a message began running before he was even given a message to bring. And when he finally got there ahead of the other guy, he didn't have anything to say. Israel wanted a king. And they had God for their king. They couldn't wait for the Messiah to come, for God to become flesh. And so they chose them out a king. And what did it bring? Death, hell, and destruction. From the stature of a perfect man, Brother Branham said, and we should have patience with one another too. See, one time we get so much impatience with one another, we think that we got to be like Moses. But Moses had patience with the people. You see, Moses, after sitting out 40 years, it's like, time out. God gave him 40 years to rethink. All he did when, all, and those 40 years, he realized, all I got for my action, my stepping ahead of God, was one dead Egyptian. And he had 40 years to think about that. What did it do in that 40 years? He learned patience. When you sit for 40 years and just watch a bunch of stinking sheep, you learn patience. Moses had patience with the people. Look at it. That's what caused them not to go over. See, if you're trying to do something like I've tried to get this message over the tabernacle to see that each member of the tabernacle becomes this, it's hard to do. I try to have patience. This is 33 years. See, have patience. Women still bob their hair, still just the same. But just have patience. Just have patience and wait. Have to. If you ain't got it, don't try to build onto this down here, but have patience. Even one time when the rebellion, bunch of people, had such impatience, it caused Moses to do something that was wrong. But yet when it come to a showdown, God got sick of their actions. And he says, separate yourself, Moses. I'll kill the whole bunch of them and start anew. He threw himself in the breach and he said, God, don't do it. What? Patience with the people that was rebelling against him. I wonder if we could do that. If you can't, don't try to build on this because it don't change, you know. That's the way the first one is vulcanized into this. And that's the way every one of them has to be vulcanized. If you don't, you don't come to that statue of a dwelling place of the living God. You haven't got patience with one another. So Brother Branham says it all lays there. Patience, being able to wait in God. When God says directs you to go, then you go. From Ephesians 4 and verse 10, he that descendeth is the same also that ascended far above all heaven, and that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a man that's fully mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. So the whole purpose of a fivefold ministry is that we no more be children. You see, there's a promise that God has placed a fivefold ministry in the church, not to preach sermons, not to dominate the people, not to make a living by the sweat of the people, but to bring them to maturity through the teaching of the cross, by the revelation of Christ that brings the people into the unity of the faith. And since there's only one Lord and one faith, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ we're talking about. But not just that, but this ministry that cannot come without them bringing the people to an understanding of the Son of God. For without understanding the relationship he had with his Father, how could the other sons of God ever know how to conduct themselves in this wicked and perverse generation that we live in? That is why he said in verse 14, that we henceforth, that means that we no longer become children, or be children no more, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, you see, that is what it does. Speaking the truth in love, it helps us so that we may grow up into him in all things. It didn't say grow up unto him. It said we grow up into him. Like little junior growing up into daddy junior. Maybe that's not the right way to say it. Like little Gray growing up into big Gray. Little Guzik growing up into big Guzik. Little children of God growing up into big sons and daughters of God. In other words, growing up into Him. Into Him. We are to grow up into Him. Into. Like we are to be so much like Him that when people see us, they think we are Him. That's the way Brother Branham was. People actually thought he was Jesus Christ because he was so much conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Well, what about you and me? Then Paul continues, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Think about those words. They're just really, really beautiful. The effectual working of every part. That's you and me. I'm a part. You're a part. And all working together to edify one another in love. That is how the body of Christ is to come together, working together in love with one another. For if we cannot love our brothers whom we can see, how could we love our Father whom we cannot see? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Who being past feeling, they have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard of Him, and have been taught by Him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the image of Christ. From taking sides with Jesus, Brother Branham said, and I believe that all these things has a time, a lingering, a waiting, but it's waiting for a time for the Scripture to be fulfilled till everything gets right, everything in order, waiting. Many times we get impatient. Like a child, we get anticipations, and many times we just jump ahead, way ahead. And that just hinders the work until the work gets caught up. See? We must just move reverently, have a purpose in heart that God, if He would desire to use us in such and such a way, but wait till He makes the opening, because He has to go ahead of us. You remember David going to battle that night? He was weary about that fight, and he laid under those mulberry trees until he heard the Lord in the rumbling of the leaves go before him. Then he went with courage, because he knew that God had gone before him. And if we could only do that, brethren, knowing the battle must come, but we must wait till we see the hand of God going before us to make the way. Remember Jonathan, how he said, if they call us up, then God has placed him in our hand. If they tell us to stay where we're at, then we better get going because God hasn't placed him in our hand. In James 1 and verse 3 we read, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work. So there's a reason for patience. And it's to produce in you a perfect work. That you may be perfect, he says, that's mature and entire, wanting nothing. So what is a perfect work? It is that you are so focused, so completely on Him, that you want nothing else. Just give me Jesus. From the stature of a perfect man, Brother Brown said, Daniel, the same way. Daniel had patience, sure. He wasn't going to give up. No, sir. What did he do? He opened them windows and prayed anyhow. It was a requirement of God. He had patience. He waited on God. Knowing God was able to keep his word, they threw him in the lion's den, said, we'll let the lions eat you up. And he said, that's all right. He had patience. Why? Well, I've waited out all this time on God. If I have to wait a few more thousand years, I'll raise up again in the last days. So God, patience. Just wait. Paul had patience, certainly did. Look what Paul had to do. Do you and I have patience? Because we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. The trials are coming down. They're already here. In Ephesians church age, Brother Brown said, now the third verse, all right, second, third verse, last. He said, and hath borne and had patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. For my name. Did you notice they had patience? They labored for what? His name. See that name holding in that church. Now watch it. When we got down through the week, how that fades out and goes into another name. See, has had patience, labored, and so forth for my name's sake. They labored for his name to keep the name of Jesus above any church, above anything else. Let it be first. Whatever. The Bible said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Is that right? Whatever you do in word or deed, if you marry a person, if you can't, if they're all scrupled up in their marriage, don't marry them at all. See, if you can't freely say, I pronounce you husband and wife in the name of Jesus Christ, then let them go. All right? If you want to baptize them in the name of Jesus. You see, all that we do is in the name of Jesus. And they had patience to do so. Now, from Titus 2:2, Brother Ram said, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, and in patience. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee those things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. 2 Timothy 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So we see that patience is the main ingredient that runs throughout each age and the believers in each. From the Jubilee, Brother Branham said, and knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. There you are, see, tribulations worketh patience. Be patient. And hope maketh not ashamed, and we've got the hope tonight. In all our tribulations, yet it works. Tribulation makes us patient, waiting for the coming of the Lord. When he will be revealed from heaven the second time in glory and majesty, the sea will give up the dead, the horrible bodies that those asleep in him. Or those corruptible bodies of those asleep in him will be changed and made like unto our own glorious body, whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. And what are we tonight? Just to be happy, rejoicing Christians, looking for that great day of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Jesus here speaking again on his word. So Brother Brown is letting us know, look, it's all about patience. We've got a promise laying before us. Do we believe the promise? If we do, let's patiently wait for it. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and your patience of hope, your patience of earnestly expecting in our Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of God and our Father. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Because if you have patience, you'll have long suffering. You're learning to wait. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Revelation 13:12. Again, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we see then that the suffering that the saints went through, it was for their patience, building patience. From Shalom, Brother Ram says, some people say, but Brother Ram, I have tried, but wait a minute. Patience is a virtue. Patience is Holy Spirit virtue. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, well, how can I wait any longer? Just keep on waiting. When you've done all you can do to stand, then what do you do? You just stand. How am I going to do it? Stand. He said it's the truth, and it's the truth. He said it'll happen. How do I know? But it'll happen. He said so. He promised it. If he promised it, it's going to happen. That's all. It can't wait. So now just remember, God took thousands of years to fulfill his promise of a coming Savior. 4,000 years God took to fulfill that promise, but he knew from the beginning just when it was going to happen. He knew. No one else did. He just said it would happen, and when it happened, the people was in such a delusion till they didn't even know how to accept it. If that same thing hasn't repeated again, it always does, never fails, both sides always. You see it constantly in the papers and in the different places of the media. They say, is there really going to be a second coming? The people see things crumbling all around them. You know, the scientists have just proven last month, they said that based on all the satellite photos, that the great river that runs from the Gulf of Mexico up to the England places and then goes back down again. It's the warming, you know, it's that warming waters. It's called the Gulf Stream, and they said it's dead. It died. It's gone. There's no movement. It always ran between 2.5 to 5 miles per hour, that water. And they said there was more water in that river than there was in all the freshwater rivers in the world coming into the ocean combined. And it's gone. That's why they're saying that they're having all these things happening around the world. You have 104 degree temperature in Moscow. Then further south of Moscow in Switzerland and in Norway, you're having half a meter of snow. And in Poland even. Floods everywhere. Why? Well, because God's bringing about His promise. And they're saying that it looks like it's going to be going to a ice age, not global warming anymore, an ice age. And if it happens, they said 2/3 of the world's population is going to die. Well, what does it matter to me? I don't care. I'm not going to be here for it. I'm going home. I've got a promise. Talk about patience from Stature of Perfect Man. How about the Pentecostal people, as long as they've got the commission? Wait until you're endued with power. How long? It ain't no question how long it will be. They just got the answer. Wait until. They went up there and said, all right, boys, maybe in 15 minutes now the Holy Ghost is going to be on us and we're going to have our ministry. 15 minutes passed, nobody. 1 day passed, 2 days passed. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Some of them might have said, hey, don't you think we already got it? Nope. That's right. You better come out. Come on out, boys. The devil said, you know, you know that you've already got what you're waiting for. Go and start your ministry. No, we ain't got it yet. Because he said there will come a what? Will take place in the last days with stammering lips and other tongues while I speak to this people. And this is the rest that I see. Isaiah 28:19. This is it. You'll get it when? Why? We'll know. See? We'll know when it comes. We'll know it. It's promise of the Father. There they waited 9 days, then the 10th day. Now you're there. They had patience to wait. In Revelation 3, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Revelation 2:19, I know thy works and thy charity, thy service and thy faith and thy patience. Revelation 2:2, I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and hast tried them, which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake. Revelation 1:9, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Again, from Shalom, Brother Bram says, some people say, but Brother Bram, I've tried and I've tried. But wait a minute. Have patience. Just keep on waiting. When you've done all you can do to stand, just simply stand. From Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Notice, after that you've done the will of God, but you have need of patience. Now look at the patience of Noah. Noah waited 120 years for the rain to come. But they did not come. But it didn't come until he and his family were ready to enter into the ark. And then, once they entered the ark, another 7 days before it began to rain. Having patience. Waiting patiently. For the stature of a perfect man, Brother Branson, Noah had patience. Yeah, Noah. Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. And Noah preached 120 years at it. Plenty of patience. Not even a dew fell from heaven. It wasn't nothing. Just as dusty as it ever was for 120 years, but he was patient. Then God tries your patience. That's right, God tries it. After he told Noah, now he said, Noah, I want you to go ahead and get into the ark. I'm going to run the animals in there. I want you to get in, climb up the stairs now, so you can look out the top window. Now, I want you to get in there. I want you to tell these people tomorrow what I've been preaching for 120 years is going to take place. All right, you go down there and tell them. What was the first sign? Noah got into the ark, but there still wasn't any rain. He waited patiently another 7 days. 2 Corinthians 2 and 12, truly the signs of the apostles were wrought among you in all patience. 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, and in distresses. Romans 15 and 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ. Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Romans 8, 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Matthew 18, 28, and his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, we have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Again, Matthew 18, 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But what did that guy do? He didn't have patience. And yet Jesus said in Luke 21, 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. And Luke 18, 5, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, they keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. In closing, Brother Bram said, for modern events made clear by prophecy, now with patience we have to wait for this, for the prophecies that's been promised, every one of them must be fulfilled in its age. For it foretells us, the author has before done this, and wait to see him do it again. What a time it is that we're living in. Something like a calendar. You could look at the calendar and find out what day that you're living in. And you look in God's book to see what age we're living in. We're not living in the Methodist age, Baptist age. We're living in the bride age, the calling, the bringing back to God through a channel that He promised to bring it back through. He promised to do it. But as it's been in every age, people try to put their own interpretation to it by their own theology and will not believe God's divine vindication of it. That's God's interpretation, not what I say, what somebody else says, but what God has promised and what God does. It proves that it's God doing His own interpretation of His word. And Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience produces hope. That's character. Now, for modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Bram said, and now with patience we have to wait for this. The prophecies that's promised, every one of them, must be fulfilled in its age. For it foretells, the author has before done this, and we wait to see him do it again. From stature of a perfect man, he said, now you've got to have that kind of patience after God gives you a promise, and you see it in the Bible, it's mine. Then wait. Then if you've got that kind of patience, add it to your faith. You see how high that you're setting now. You're getting up there somewhere. And from Stature of Perfect Man, paragraph 95, said patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing, is patience with God. If you've got real genuine faith, you'll have real genuine patience, because faith worketh patience. Abraham was patient with God. Yeah, we say, well, is God patient with us? Well, it says when God says anything, you believe it. That's all. You've got patience. Say, you say, well, I asked him last night to heal me, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh my, what patience. God told Abraham, and 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign. Still, he believed it. He was patient with God. Put him always before you. Let him be the next crossing thing. You can't cross him, so just keep him before you. He said so, it's going to happen. See, keep him before you. That's right. Now, he says that we must be like Abraham to have patience with God. We hardly have enough patience with one another, much less having patience with God. But if God said it, it must come to pass. That's it. The children of the Hebrew children had patience. From the stature of a perfect man, Brother Brown says, then after that, fourthly, you want to add patience to your faith. It's got faith. It worketh patience. The Bible says so. Now, that's the next thing that's going to build this statue. You know, God's got real material in this building. See how short we are, brethren. See why we're at. See, we have glory. You have shout and things like that. we have faith. But when we come down to these things, God can't build us into that statue. See, He can't make us up to that kind of a place. We've got all these other things we fall and slide off with. See, He can't build that church. Why? Because there's no patience. You've got the truth, but you don't have patience to wait for it. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We've got other quotes in scriptures, but we just know, Father, that they all say the same thing, and that's basically that they that through patiently waiting are they which inherit the promise. Help us, Father, to stay focused in this hour. Help us, Lord, to patiently wait. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed against this day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.